Hi, everyone. Welcome to Lab Medicine's podcast series. My name is Kelly Swales, and I'm the web editor for Lab Medicine. Today, we have Dr. Jeffrey Wool. He's a hematopathology fellow at the University of California, San Francisco, and he's going to talk with us about automated urine and body fluid analysis. Hi, Dr. Wool.
Hi, Kelly. Thank you for inviting me to do this. So I'll be talking both about urinalysis and body fluids and how with automation that a lot of the technology that we're using is used on both, and maybe some things that are good about this new technology and maybe some downsides or things we need to keep in mind, and any differences that there are in how we would use this technology for urinalysis and body fluids. So I'll start with the urinalysis. You know, as we all know, urinalysis is a routine, cheap lab assay. It can provide valuable clinical information, and some people have called it a, quote, liquid renal biopsy. Urinalysis can provide early non-invasive detection for renal and urinary tract disorders, and that's why it's so helpful to practicing clinicians. While the chemistry or dipstick portion of the test is generally pretty quick and easy, the microscopic portion of the urinalysis that we use for enumeration or identification of white cells, red cells, epithelial cells, casts, crystals, sperm, mucus, bacteria, yeast, and parasitic eggs is, as we know, more time-consuming, potentially imprecise, and tedious. And in addition, there are some causes of errors or imprecision in the lab with manual urine microscopy, such as incomplete pelleting, or cellular lysis due to centrifugation, or an imprecise resuspension. There's a paper by Mayo et al. In the Journal of Clinical Lab Analysis from 2008 that mentions those. And by the way, there'll be a post of several references that I use for this if people are interested to look at the primary sources I use for this. I mentioned sort of some downsides involved with manual urine microscopy, such as how long it takes pulling someone else away to do that could be doing maybe many more other tests in that time. And maybe some reasons for some imprecision in urine microscopy, at least manual microscopy. So that's why automated urinalysis instruments have been a valuable addition to clinical labs. And there's several different automated urinalysis instruments, and they use different technologies, such as the Iris Diagnostics. Iris IQ200 uses digital imaging, and then the Sysmex UF1000i uses flow cytometry technology. And neither of these require centrifugation. And these automated urinalysis instruments, which I'll speak more of in a second, can be combined with automated test strip analyzers, which we've been using for longer in the clinical lab, such as the Atlas Clonitec 10 by Bayer, or the Urasys 2400 by Hitachi. And if you're putting those together, you're really fully automating your routine urinalysis and potentially saving a lot of technologists' time. I just want to mention that we use the Iris IQ200 at UCSF, and I'll be frequently referring to it, but it's not the only analyzer out there, and this isn't a product endorsement. But it's sort of an interesting technology, so I'll mention it. So the Iris IQ200 uses laminar flow fluidics to position the cells and any other urine sediment in the focal plane of a digital camera. And interestingly, with the largest profile facing the direction of view for the strobe light in the digital camera. One of the benefits of this Iris instrument is that you don't require centrifugation. You can take the urine and put it on the machine without any centrifugation or resuspension, and the machine is looking at such a volume of urine and capturing all these events with the strobe light. You don't require that centrifugation step, which is a source of imprecision. However, the Iris does require well-trained technologists to essentially get these multiple screens of cells or other objects or just non-interpretable debris, and you have to properly recategorize these cells and sediment using these digital images. And these images are going to look a little bit different than what you're used to if you're looking at a hemocytometer. So you do have to be well-trained. To mention the other system, the Sysmex UF1000i, it uses flow, but it's not flow cytometry that we typically think about with antibodies. It's just using fluorescent dyes, which sort of differentially stain the formed elements in the urine. And then each formed element class generates this sort of distinctive signal pattern on the flow cytometer based on side scatter, forward scatter, and then the fluorescent dyes that these cells or objects have taken up. At least in 2006, which is the most recent data I could find when I was putting this together, a CAP Q probe showed that only 15% of study institutions, and they surveyed about 87 institutions, used automated microscopic urinalysis analyzers at that time. And that was approximately equally split between the IRIS and the SISMIC systems. And that was Torek et al. And that was, I believe, Archives of Pathology Lab Medicine 2008, where they mentioned that Q-probe study. So just to mention sort of good points or some downsides to using this technology for enumerating white cells and red cells. One paper by Chien et al., and that's from 2007 in Clinica Chemacta, really compared the IQ200 and the UF, and they're using the UF100 at that time, not the UF1000, which is the newer system. The coefficient of variation for white cells in urine were anywhere from 3 to 17% for the IQ200 and anywhere from 1.5 to 20% for the UF100. And there were similar ranges for the red cells using those two systems. And the reason there's such a range was that was broken out by what was the density of white cells or red cells. So really, the CVs for the automated analyzers increased the low particle counts. And so sort of uniformly in these two analyzers or any of the automated urinalysis data that you'll find out there, it gets noisier at the low end, as a lot of analyzer data does. And so that's one of the downsides. But one thing that Chien pointed out, which is interesting, and, you know, sort of if we're taking the manual hemocytometer to have to be the gold standard, well, the manual hemocytometer counting had uniformly higher CVs. These were intraday repeatability CVs. So our gold standard gets pretty noisy on the low end as well, and in fact noisier than the automated instruments. The fact that these get noisy on the low end, we don't really have a better system that we're using in the clinical lab. It's not such a downside if we take that into mind. Automated urinalysis analyzers are actually pretty good at identifying microorganisms. In fact, they're quite good at identifying yeast, probably because they're bigger and are better differentiated from noise than those teeny for bacteria. So both the IQ200 and the UF100 had, their accuracy was above 90% for yeast in urine. The accuracy for bacteria was not as good, from 50 to 90% for the UF100 to 70 to 80% for the IQ200. And that was data that was from, Chien et al. As well as, Scheinfar et al., and that Scheinfar paper is from Clinical Chemistry and Lab Medicine in 2007. So, and that Scheinfar paper, I think, had an interesting quote that they said about automated microscopic urinalysis analyzers. Although they're not a substitute for microscopic sediment examination, they can, when combined with dipstick testing, reduce the number of specimens submitted to microscopy. And visual microscopy is still required for some samples, namely dysmorphic erythrocytes, conformation of yeast, Trichomonas, oval fat bodies, and differentiation of casts in certain crystals. So I thought that was telling that this is a valuable tool that the clinical lab can use, but we're never going to get away from visual microscopy to either confirm those findings or for more rare findings that the automated instrument might not be able to correctly categorize. And then one other thing that people have mentioned, using, although the automated urinalysis analyzers aren't perfect for identifying bacteria, they can be a little bit more precise than when we're manually looking at these, and you're sort of wondering if this is some hazy, just particulate or something that doesn't matter, if that's really bacteria, and the automated analyzers seem to do a little bit better at that. So one group described using automated microscopic urinalysis analyzer, and they use the UF1000i, as a simple, rapid method for urine screening for UTIs, and basically, if they counted greater than 20 bacteria, to whether or not to use that as a cutoff for setting up a urine culture. And their sensitivity was pretty good, 93%, but they were only able to exclude about 26% of their urines from going to culture. And that's an exclusion that might be really beneficial to very large laboratories, but if you're on the smaller end, to set up this instrument just to exclude, you know, a quarter of your urines from culture, you might not break even on that. So I think that that's something to keep in mind. And that's from Ked Koda et al., and that was from 2011 in Diagnostic Microbiology and Infectious Disease. So that's what I had to say about urinalysis, and I'll move on now to body fluids. Body fluid white counts can be used to help diagnose an infectious, inflammatory, or neoplastic process. And body fluid red counts are generally a little less helpful, but can be used to determine the presence of bleeding or blood contamination, and they're most helpful in cerebrospinal fluids, as we know. Traditionally, body fluids have the same limitations as microscopic urinalysis, requiring hemocytometer count and then centrifugation and resuspension, or a centrifugation on a cytospin to do your differential count. Automated instruments for body fluid analysis can use impedance if you're, say, using a hematology analyzer, an automated hematology analyzer to do your automated body fluid counts, digital imaging technology, which is the same as IQ200, or flow cytometry technology, which is the same SysMex-UF1000i. A lot of clinical labs are going this way, and UCSF has recently been sort of trying this out and doing some validations to add these body fluid modules onto their existing urinalysis instrument. Of course, this requires that you're using your analysis instrument that's FDA approved for doing body fluids. And just to point out, not all body fluids are FDA approved on each instrument. The IQ200 has the widest array of body fluids that are acceptable by the FDA, but it's not all of them. It doesn't include bronchoalveolar lavages, which is a large percentage of body fluids that we see here at UCSF. And the manufacturer does not recommend using clear colorless CSFs on the IQ200. And I'll get into why that is in a second. The automated urinalysis analyzers, which I've already mentioned, are really designed to perform best at those low cell concentrations like we'd expect in urine, because urine is generally a pretty cell or sediment poor matrix, as compared to the automated hematology analyzers, which are set up obviously to look at blood, which has numerous red cells and platelets and lesser numbers of white cells in them. So using an automated hematology analyzer for body fluid analysis, you're going to require special attention to the background signal to carry over and to interferences, given that you're looking at this generally cell poor body fluid as compared to what the machine normally looks at, which is, you know, even if you have a cytopenic patient, the red cell count is still pretty impressive compared to what we see in a lot of the body fluids. That was something that was pointed out quite nicely in DeGraff et al., and that was from Cytometry Part B from 2011. So the limited precision at the low end of the cellularity really limits automated hematology analyzers for body fluid analysis, particularly CSFs. And there's several references that you can find online after listening to this study. This is DeSmet et al., and that was from American Journal of Clinical Pathology in 2010. Used the Celldyne Sapphire and could not accurately enumerate body fluid white counts less than 50 per microliter. And the clinically important white count cutoff in CSFs is 5. So if you have a white count in the CSF of less than 5, and this patient got an LP, say, for rule-out meningitis, well, essentially the rule-out is mostly done, that, you know, you would not have meningitis in a white count less than 5. So really that's a very important clinical cutoff, that if it was greater than 5, they would go further. They'd certainly want to look at the diff, and they'd maybe be more highly suspicious of meningitis. But as I just mentioned in that Celldyne Sapphire study, they weren't able to accurately enumerate less than 50. So that's going to represent a real problem for these clear colorless, relatively cell poor CSFs. On the other hand, serous body fluids, a clinically significant leukocytosis is anywhere from 500 to 1,000 white cells per microliter. So therefore, that Celldyne Sapphire would perform just fine for most serous body fluids, but not for the majority, at least the CSFs that we see at UCSF, the majority are clear and colorless and relatively cell poor. So generally, the majority of your CSFs, at least if your CSF distribution is like what we see here, it's not going to be amenable to this sort of hematology analyzer. That's been a limitation for the field for a while, and that's why everyone isn't throwing their body fluids onto the hematology analyzers. The Iris IQ200 instrument uses these uncentrifuge samples for your analysis and does body fluid analysis, and is set up more than the hematology analyzer to look at that low end of the cellularity. So, to sort of tell you how the Iris IQ200 body fluid module works, you have to make duplicate, properly labeled dilutions. And one of these dilutions in an isotonic solution, the other is in a hypotonic solution, and that hypotonic solution will cause red cell lysis. And those dilutions have to be made by the bench tech and then properly labeled. And you have to label them just so and line up the UPC code for the instrument to scan in the right orientation. The Irish IQ 200 instrument performed well with intra-run CVs less than 20%, had red cell counts greater than 30, and it white cell counts greater than 35 in a paper by Butch et al. And AJCP from 2008. And as I just mentioned, those clinical cutoffs for a quote-unquote normal CSF with a white count less than 5, and also the red count is about less than 10 as a normal cutoff, then once again that Iris IQ 200 doesn't perform well for those clear colorless CSFs. And that was the finding that led the Iris Diagnostics company to suggest that you not use that instrument for your clear colorless CSFs. And similar results have been seen with the Sysmex XC5000 on clear colorless CSFs. So that's really a body fluid type that, for the time being, there is not an instrument that looks at them well, and that manual microscopy is going to be our bread and butter for some time until the field advances in some way. The Iris IQ 200 instrument doesn't provide white cell differential counts, and you know you're still going to necessitate that cytospin examination to do a differential count. Now, as we all know, automated hematology analyzers are, they're set up to do differential counts. So once again, that Celldyne Sapphire automated hematology analyzer showed some significant problems in one paper at doing differential counts in serous fluids. They're actually putting epithelial cells, the paper just defined them as epithelial cells, so I don't know if they're talking about mesothelial cells or actually talking about cancerous epithelial cells that should not normally be in the body fluids. But the paper said epithelial cells and macrophages were included in the neutrophil count. So in any event, we're artifactually bumping up the neutrophil count, and that's going to be a real problem giving someone who's trying to diagnose, say, peritonitis, and they get a falsely elevated neutrophil count. That's really going to make them much more suspicious, potentially give patient antibiotics, or at least just be more clinically suspicious than they otherwise would be with a false count. And that's from the Smet et al. Paper. And CSF white count differential by the Sysmex XC5000 in another paper by Klein from Cytometry Part A in 2012, the white count differential on the CSFs on the Sysmex XC5000 wasn't reliable because the neutrophils were overcounted relative to the mononuclear cells, and they were using flow cytometry as a reference value in that paper. And finally, just in closing, if you do want to go ahead, I think that these are valuable technologies. We just need to be aware of some limitations they have. Obviously, unless you want to validate it as a homebrew, you need to go by what body fluids the FDA has approved for these body fluid analyzers. And then you need to be aware of some problems at that low end. So when we were validating one of the instruments here at UCSF, that ended up being a problem where we didn't want to go forward with introducing this into clinical care because a lot of our body fluids ended up being, at sort of this cell pour on the low end of the white count, and the numbers just got too noisy for us. So I think that they have the possibility of improving workflow, but just if you were to go forward with validating this, to know the limitations and be aware of those. And the International Council for Standardization in Hematology recently published some guidelines and a guide for laboratories that are verifying or validating their automated cell counts and body fluids. And that was Berner et al., and that was in International Journal of Laboratory Hematology in 2014. That's e-published ahead of print. So I think that would be very valuable for a laboratorian who was trying to, was getting ready to set up one of these automated cell counters for their body fluids in their lab. Really enjoyed the opportunity to discuss this. I think the automation in your analysis and body fluid has been around, at least in your analysis, been around for a while, but it's really sort of taking off, particularly in body fluids, and has an opportunity to improve lab workflow. And as laboratorians, we should really have the opportunity to improve our workflow, but just be aware of some limitations that this technology has. And I don't think that manual microscopy will be going away anytime soon. So I want to thank you for the opportunity to speak today.